American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it's a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting you from the internet for Monday, June the 21st, 2010. And you're listening to Newsreel, a WOG Global sit-rep on core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. RAND Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. And you can follow up on all these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal. And you can get there by going to, well, Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio Talk, Red Mercury SE, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, KJAG Radio, Osprey Networks, Creek Radio, iTunes, Podcast.com, Podcast Alley, and every Thursday night at 7 p.m. in Second Life, Node Archers, Grid 155-74666. And tonight we have with us Anthony Tira, Talon, Don A Square, Oi, Zen, Damien, DJ Dally, Cade, Lachlan, Rash Shogun, Rashnok, Sophia, and IE6 for life. So, very good that everybody managed to make it in here. I notice it's a little bit of a lighter crowd, but for some reason people seem to show up later to the show. So it's maybe I should read it out at the end, but I'd rather have it read out in the beginning, simply because, there's the people, you know, who bother to show up on time. And let's not forget that we are, in fact, broadcasting on Radio 99, transmitting on a frequency of 6673.3 kilohertz. And, of course, it wouldn't be the show unless I had my beautiful and talented co-host, Sumerian.
Good evening, Sean. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I've been, I have not gotten a chance to pen as much as I would have liked today because I had a lot of other things that got in my way. But the day is not over yet.
Thanks.
So I'm going to, after I'm done the show tonight.
Just yet.
Well, once the show is completed, I'm going to go back and make a furious effort to at least write something. And I don't even care if I write the. If my word count for the day is like 4, that's okay. What matters is that you post it. And it was really funny because for those of you keeping along with their home game, I of course, write. And I've been in a big funk last little while. Well, I just haven't written. And to be honest, the reasons why, this is really funny, when you talk to writers who don't write, they've got a billion fucking reasons for it. Oh, well, I've got writer's block, which does not exist. It's because you're weak. Why haven't I written anything? Do you care why? No, you don't give a shit why. You could care less. You just want to read more of your favorite author. That's what you want. You don't care if he's dying. You don't care if his kid got cancer. You don't care. You just want more book. That's what you want. And to be fair, there's a certain purity in that, you know, there's a certain strength in that. So I'm not going to sit here and bullshit everyone by saying, oh, well, you know, I haven't been writing because.
Yeah,
because
Stephen Hawking's write books. What's your excuse, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's because I'm weak. And, you know, Stephen Hawking, on the other hand, can't go kayaking. But, you know, so he's kind of, you know,
true.
He's only got one or two tricks he can do. You know, he can go to space. I mean, if he wasn't writing and didn't finish his book because he went to space, then we could talk, you know.
No, he did go to space. He went to weightless. I saw a picture of him floating in a plane, weightless.
Well, that's right. And you know what? He wasn't writing. So, you know, he was busy that day, you know. I'm just saying, that day I don't think he did a lot of writing. Or maybe he did. Who knows?
No.
Who knows?
Maybe he did. Maybe
or
went back
pointing
home on the Twitter.
You know. As the rule may be. Let's get into some feedback. Some force feedback. Power feedback. Retro. You know, feedback is like another way of saying regurgitation. Especially with small birds. All right. Hi, Sean. RU46 here, having a host of the I Have Nothing show. Which is actually a pretty good name for a show. I just had another WOG from the USA. Stay with me here in Australia. Wow. Foxwolf and me went to the best parts of Queensland from the south to the far north. We dived on the reef. Very good. Thank you very much. Did a show from the beach in Canes, live to the web. I just wanted to let you know that you made this for us. Without Rant, we the Wogs would never have met. And now they're in love. And they will be together for... No, I'm kidding. I say it, I think it was the best time in my life I've ever had. Fox gave me some night vision. It's hard to get here. Yeah, hey, I'm going to come stay with you and bring some optics. And all the crew and I have... And all the crew at I Have Nothing sent stuff. They gave me a tea from the 10th year meet. I believe that's what it was. He actually wrote it as they gave me... I thought it was at... But there's a space there. So I believe you got a T-shirt, but they just call them tees in Australia. Yeah. From the 10-year meet, I tell you, mate, you've done a good thing. Thanks for Rant. And thanks Sim with an S as well. So I believe that's you, Simmy, because it's actually Sim with a C.
So. Yeah,
but, you know.
It's close, but yeah.
Yeah, which is, you know, there we are, connecting people globally with our idiocy and general camaraderie and good-natured will. So that's always kind of fun to read about, where WOGs get together and hang out and do cool things. You know? It's good. It's good. Dear Sean, you mentioned a lack of a replacement for MP3.com for uploading people's own music. There's SoundCloud.com. SoundCloud.com. I have lots of DJ friends that use this. Also, in regards to floating cities, just a random idea, Ark Wars? Full-out naval battles with those puppies, eh? Which I'm like, what are you suggesting here? That we actually have Ark Wars? Or we could... Is that a game expansion pack? Is that like a Kevin Symbadia kind of artwork? I'm not too sure. Do you know anything about this SoundCloud thing, Sim? Do you know what that is? Ever hear of that?
Right now, I think I've been there once. It's not like I'm going to their homepage, and it's not like they're having a bunch of artists on their homepage. It's more like a hosting site, it looks like. Yeah, it's not really exactly the same, but I guess it hosts artists' music, and you can use this hosting to put on your webpage and embed like a player and stuff. So it's not quite the same, but you know, there is stuff out there that is similar.
Yeah, it's interesting that somebody said it. And though maybe if there is something that is like a direct ripoff of MP3.com, that'd be neat. But this whole SoundCloud.com, maybe something to check out. And someone, of course, yeah. I'm going to get a letter in the next show of somebody saying, oh my God, Sean, I can't believe you pressed SoundCloud. Do you know how bad they are? SoundCloud is bad. They are so bad. I can't believe you pressed SoundCloud. They're bad. Don't you know their politics? They make their website out of puppies. That whole website's made with the new puppy protocol. Anyway.
Right, it's awful.
It's terrible. Hey, Sean and Tazor, the two-fisted vegan, which... I really like the two-fisted vegan. It sounds just a little dirty, you know? But it's good. It's good, the two-fisted vegan.
I don't know who he's talking about.
Well, you know, and it's two-fisted, right? Like, what does that mean? You're two-fisted vegan. It's like, there's like one fist in the air, and then there's like two fists in the air. You know, you're the victorious... Arms raised to the V with a dead leg.
I do have two fists, but...
Pools of maroon below. Vegan spoken. Anyway. Hey, Sean and Tazor, the two-fisted vegan. On the show this week, you talked briefly about the concept of alien invasion. One of my favorite topics, actually. And having writerly aspirations... I'm sorry about that, by the way, but if you do have writerly aspirations, I'm not sure I'm the best guy to talk to. I've actually put some thought into this. It's a hard thing, is trying to shed the cultural baggage that we all carry around from every Hollywood movie, comic book, and X-Files episode ever to deal with the idea. One must do so in order to approach the topic logically. Let's leave aside the vast possibility of life as we don't know it, which is not even composed of the same basic chemicals as life on Earth. It may not need to follow the same rules. As I see it, there are two main possibilities that we need to be concerned with. One. Alien civilizations can travel between stars easily, in which case they probably need to be at least 1,000 years ahead of us. If such a race wants us gone, it will not even be a fight. If we are lucky, they are bombarding us from orbit, and a few might survive hiving underground until they go away. If not, then they pump out our atmosphere full of nerve gas and injure our plagues. There will be no screams. There will be no time. Fortunately, this is unlikely, as we have... Fortunately, this is unlikely, as we have nothing that would be worth the trouble. Raw materials can either be found elsewhere or synthesized. Life forms can be engineered, and worlds can be terraformed to fit the need they may have. Even the concept of preemptively destroying us is flawed. As technology progresses exponentially, if there are 1,000 years ahead of us now, then in 1,000 years, it will be 10,000 years as more of a threat than blah, 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 blah. It goes on. Number two possibility. The alien civilization can travel interstellar distances, but only with great difficulty. Which, that's your second possibility? This puts them just 100 years ahead. So they're either 100 years or 1,000 years. Perhaps less. These guys are the ones we need to worry about, because their range, and therefore options, are limited. If they have something they need, they might not be able to find it elsewhere. This is not so bad, though, as we have a huge home field advantage. The main thing is they would be far from the reinforcements and resource base, as well, low on supplies from their long interstellar journey. While we have an entire planet to draw on, furthermore, it needs to be Earth rather than other planets of our system. They probably don't want to fuck it up too badly, so no orbital bombardments, no chemical attacks, no hard radiation. This means land-air war, even better. We could probably reverse engineer the technology with some work. I'd like to write, like the Wright brothers, trying to figure out an F-22, but not totally out of the question. And with the older guys, there'd be the equivalent of groups of Sumerian bricklayers on the same machine. Anyway, this is ending up to be far longer than I'd wanted, but hopefully you'll get a laugh. Name withheld, as I fear the wrath of Almighty Tazor. Well, you know, there's something to be said there. First of all, your ideas. You want to know what I think? There's only one theory that I've got on the whole UFO thing that makes sense. All right. Anybody who's ever done any reading on my stuff understands I've got this model, which I cooked up when I was about 12, but apparently the quantum physicists are agreeing with me now. But I don't think these UFOs are actually from, like, other planets. I think that they're sort of like, for lack of a better word, they're in another dimension. If you look at all these reports that are coming in, we're talking about these huge vehicles leaving no sonic footprint. It's like they're not really in this world. So I'm thinking there must be some kind of parallel world. It's like if there was the fabric of reality, we would be standing on, like, spandex, polyester, and cotton. You know, you look at your shirt, and your shirt's made of, like, 10% spandex, 10% cotton, 10% polyester, 10% wool. Well, our reality is made up of, like, certain strands of fabric. And their reality, even though it's interweaved with ours, is different strands of fabric. So what they're good at is they're able to kind of take these ships and somehow cross over so that they're sort of in our world, but sort of not. And that's how they avoid and get around a lot of the laws of physics. It's not brilliant. It's not, perfect. But, I mean, it's the only thing that I can think of that can even slightly make sense here. And if it kind of explains a lot of other ideas when it comes to, like, Fortean logic and, you know, raining frogs and all that kind of stuff, which has gone on in the past, which nobody really likes to talk about it. Good ideas. Good ideas. I think that the alien thing is an interdimensional thing, not so much an extraterrestrial thing. But, that's pretty out there.
It mostly appears like ants to them, like they don't really even care about us.
No, they care about us. Like they care on some level, otherwise it would be down here cutting up our cows. You know? Really. You know, I mean, maybe...
Well, I mean, what do most humans think about animals? They don't really care about the animals. They cut up the cows, they'll cut up us. They don't care. They're not here to communicate or...
You're making a lot of assumptions here. You're making huge assumptions here, right? You're just... Boom! Okay, all I'm saying is I think they're from another dimension.
They haven't tried yet. They really haven't, you know, if they really wanted to, they could probably put a good broadcast over our airwaves and hijack a couple radio stations if they really wanted to communicate with us. But they haven't really tried very hard so
far. I think if they wanted to scare the monkey shit out of us, yeah, they'd probably do that. Could you imagine if they actually did that, man? Like, holy panic. Like, seriously, you don't have to be, like, a sociologist to figure out that they're, like, the chaos that would ensue from that would just be, like... ridiculous. Like, a society as we know it would stop. Nobody would go to work the next day. Like, nobody's going to work. Okay?
Yeah.
Everybody's going to be staying at home scared absolutely out of their tree. That's what's going to happen next. Which, you know, isn't really bad, but it's one of those things. So, I think that, you know, as well...
Guns would be checking their stock of guns in the back room, yeah.
Well, whatever these things are, right, I believe that there's probably going to be some sort of a master-servant, slave symbiotic relationship is going to develop here. So if you're a leader of the free world, right, and these aliens show up and they give you a little show of force and they're like, hey, check out how we could just, like, glass your whole fucking planet. Oh, yeah, that's right, you're totally not in charge. So here's what you're going to do. Here's what you're allowed to do. Don't panic your people too much, but you basically, you know, you belong to us. And we're going to, you know, if you take a look at how many people go missing every year, I mean, there's any possible opening of science fiction V-esque style stories you could write from that. But I'm not too sure. I'm not too sure what's going on there, but I from the reports that are coming in that are credible, it seems like we're having some trouble with the laws of physics, and that interdimensional thing is the only thing I can look at that that doesn't violate all the rules. Because if you go with the interstellar travel thing, there's major problems with that. And, yeah, I don't know what other options are really open for us. Go ahead.
I count wormholes and folding space.
Yeah, there's wormholes and folding space and all that crap, but even that doesn't make up for, like, something the size of an aircraft carrier flying 150 feet off the ground at supersonic speeds without leaving a footprint that looks like a tornado path. Okay, there's certain kinds of physics which have to be applied to this thing, you know, so you can't, you know, look at physics when you're looking at 9/11 and saying, oh, it's an inside job, and then ignore that same physics when you're looking at UFO stuff, because there's a problem there. That's why it's called physics. Maybe they've got something that gets past that, but anyway, I digress. UFOs, very interesting stuff. Today's Recomedia, by the way, is the history of UFOs, which is interesting. It talks about how far back, like, how far back do the sightings go, really? Like, how far back do they go? And, yeah, it's kind of neat. It's a little documentary I found. Kind of cool. Might want to check that out.
How far back do they go? Do they find, like,
as long as there's written records. Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
Pretty much. Yeah. Dawn of time. Pre-dawn of time. As a matter of fact, they have stuff from cave drawings, which, you know.
Huh.
Yeah. It's pretty out there. It's pretty out there. I'm kind of leaning towards the Catholian aspect of we're a science experiment. You know, really. I think that we're, yeah, I think we're an ant farm. On some level, I think we're an ant farm. It answers a lot of questions while they're down here. They're cutting people up. They're doing their shit. They're implanting stuff. They're bored, right? What do people with power want? More fucking power. They've got the ability to travel between dimensions. There's nothing on this planet they would want except us. Mars needs women. You know what they don't have in the other dimensions? Jenna Jameson. That's what they don't have in other dimensions. Absolutely. They want to come here, and they want to take the chicks. Or, you know, perhaps peanut butter and strawberry ice cream, or some product of the human species. Okay, that's what they want. There's something going on with humans. Maybe they harvest energy. I don't know. Maybe that's why we got all this, these people so focused on praying and all this kind of stuff. Maybe there's some kind of energy that they're harvesting. I don't know what's going
thought
on there.
Waves emitting from the top of our heads, and they harvest it.
Well, you know, all those churches have got those antenna-like pointers on the top. Maybe there's something going on there. I don't know. I don't know. What I do know is, you know, that there's definitely, I'm leaning more towards the interdimensional theory than I am towards the, you know, guy from another planet theory, which technically he is from another planet, but it's a planet that's not that far away. You know what I mean? It's just kind of in between. Anyway, I digress. I you know, I don't have, you know, the citations and footnotes to back that up, but it just, you know, people who know will know. You know, write me. give me a holler here. Newsreel@rantradio.com. Let me know what you think. Let's get into the news. Some hard news here, which is not as pleasant as my news. My news involves speculation about aliens. But we do have some good news. So we're going to open with some good news on Data Haven News. Thank you very much, WikiLeaks. The WikiLeaks advised proposal to build an international new media haven in Iceland, the world's and with the world's strongest press and whistleblower protection laws, and a Nobel Prize for the freedom of expression has unanimously passed in the Icelandic parliament. Wouldn't that be something, Sim, if you won the Nobel Prize for freedom of expression? I think we should totally, I do, I think we should express you for that. I would, you know, by the time this thing gets, I would totally, you know, in the future, someone's going to be listening to this, and I'm here to tell you, you want to look at people who've done a lot for free expression for everyday people. I mean, I just read a story about kids all over the world who are hooking up and getting together for zero profit. If there's one guy out there who I think is definitely making the short list for the Nobel Prize for Freedom of Expression, it'd be my buddy Sim. You know, because the guy has done an absolute...
Give me another decade or so.
Well, okay, in another decade or so, but, you know, but that's only if you keep up with current trends. And what you're doing currently is pretty noble, dude, I gotta say. You know, it's a pretty noble undertaking. Anyway, let's get back to this. 50 votes were cast in favor, 0 against, and 1 abstained. 12 members of parliament were not present. One of the most inspirations for the proposal was the dramatic August 2009 gagging of Iceland's national broadcaster, RUV, by Iceland's then largest bank, Kaupthing. which is a great name for a bank, Cop Thing. Two changes were made in the proposal from its original form. The first of these were slightly altered the wording of the first paragraph as to widen the area of research. The second then added a new item to the list of tasks for the government. So, Sim, do you know anything about this? I mean, I imagine you probably covered it on your show.
Yeah, this whole thing started with Julian Assange,
right,
who founded WikiLeaks, and
right,
he put together this proposal that started it. This is the basics. What he did is he went around the world and analyzed the free speech and whistleblower kind of laws and gathered the best ones from the different countries around the world. So he took the freedom of speech from the U.S., which is always heralded as, you know, the best free speech in the world.
It's a good idea.
Because it's so open. And right, he took the whistleblower laws from, I believe, Germany.
Okay.
Or somewhere else. And he put them all together into one document and presented it to Iceland. And they passed it because of the climate there, because of the banks and stuff, and there was a lot of secrecy and no whistleblowing allowed. So it was the right environment to put this forward. And this is going to be the new data haven for journalism around the world. So people can put their servers there, like WikiLeaks, or if anybody has problems or repressive countries like Iran or China or upcoming Australia can put all their newspaper stuff there, and they won't be able to be shut down if they're saying controversial things.
Wow. That's awesome. Well, you know, at least score one for the good guys, hey? At least we got somewhere to run, you know.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's nice to know that at least we got... And plus, the chicks there are hot in Iceland. They are. They are. You ever look at Icelandic? Like, yeah. Bjork? She's kind of hot. She's Icelandic,
yeah,
you know.
Well, in a weird way, yeah.
No, I think she's hot. I think Bjork's hot. I mean, she's a little different, you know. But, I mean, you get kind of sick of that whole, like, you know, I tan, I've got fake boobs thing. You know, it's after, yeah, you know, you want one in a million, not one of a million, Sim. Come on.
That's right.
And the women in Iceland, you know, they're a little bit different, you know. And plus, one of them's named after the favorite one of the Swedish chef. Bork, bork, bork. Anyway, you know, I'm just saying. He likes it, so it's good. Anyway,
why not?
It's true. It's true.
Maybe one day we'll have to move our servers there. You never know.
Well, so it sure won't be in the States.
Set up for people like us.
It sure won't be in the States, I'll tell you that.
Or Australia.
Or Australia.
Or the UK.
But even more so in the States now, because I've got some really good Shadowrun news that you don't know about, because this is fresh off the press today.
Ooh, fresh.
Fresh meat. This is thanks very much to Mation for sending this one out. The government is quietly reviving and renaming the disestablished domestic data mining surveillance unit. Now, this was the domestic data mining surveillance unit was designed to keep an eye on crazy domestic terrorists, which means people like, you know, us, anybody who speaks out, anybody
right,
who, you know, it goes against anything whatsoever. The Pentagon's new intelligence unit's purpose could raise the valid question of how far the U.S. is moving towards militarized domestic databasing, but its resemblance to a disestablished program that used to spy on peace activists can reasonably confirm the program was never halted. The Defense Intelligence Agency, DIA, wants to open a new repository for information about individuals and groups. On July 15th, as Jeff Stein reported yesterday in the Washington Post, the new Foreign Intelligence and Counterintelligence Operations Record, FICOR, unit mirrors one shut down in recent years after civil liberty advocates brought claims it violated the Privacy Act of 1974 and the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution. The claims were later confirmed after the court ruled in favor of the Freedom of Information Act suit against the Pentagon. The unit appears to be a successor of the controversial counterintelligence program that was disbanded in August 2008. We reported on this. The War Department's former counterintelligence field activity database, the CFA database, intimate details of non-governmental organizations against imperialism and activists, the FOIA, the Freedom of Information suite filed by the American Civil Liberties Union revealed. Mr. Stein outlined the game of musical chairs that followed. So essentially what they're talking about here is that they've revived this organization that's responsible for spying on people on their own country. So this is the new secret police, and apparently this is all going into effect as of, looks like, July 15th. So maybe now's a good time to warm up the old, you know, suicide machine on Facebook there. I don't know, but it's seems kind of like an interesting thing to know about, because I didn't know they were making a new governmental body to do overwatching to, you know, amass information. I didn't know that they were doing that. And of course, it seems now that they're really turning on Americans, too. People who, you know, wave flags and love their constitution and stuff like that. Those guys are getting arrested now, get labeled as terrorists, because they don't happen to like the president, or because they, you know, think that they should be allowed to have guns. Which is funny, because according to American law, you know, there's the right to bear arms and freedom of expression and all that kind of stuff. And everybody, you know, even the Democrats, they get all, you know, wrapped around the axles about the freedom of expression. But, you know, you kind of have to have the guns, too. I'm sorry, there's a reason why that's in there. Okay, so it's unfortunate that America's in so much trouble right now. And I think that what's going on is that the world powers, whatever they are trying to create the one world government. Be it right, be it wrong. That's what they're doing. They're really well on their way for it. The rest of the world has kind of fallen into line. I mean, those who haven't fallen into line are, you know, they don't have the military or industrial might. So the only people that really have a chance of standing against the New World Order would probably be the Americans. The Chinese might be able to do it, you know, if they united against it. But generally speaking, I think for the purpose of business and all that, who knows? Who knows?
Well, the one world government really is corporations now. They want the whole world to go with what their whims are, you know, with...
Well, then we just wind up with warlords, because there's no one corporation, right? Eventually, we're just going to wind up like, how many countries have we got right now? Like 50 or 60 countries on the planet right now, something like that? So we're going to wind up with like
200.
Yeah, like 500 corporations running the show, right? So, because there's more corporations that are super corporations than there are countries. So if we wind up letting them run the shop, there's going to be a hell of a lot more bloodshed than there will be if we, you know, just try to work it out ourselves. So I don't know. I don't know. It's a little bit frightening, to be sure, and definitely the corporations are the high priests of our times. But I think the way that they're kind of policing their own people and starting like why are you so worried that your people are going to hate your government? Is it because you're screwing your people over, or is it because you've lost control of your media? No, you haven't lost control of your media. There's greater control of the media now than any other time in history. So why is it that they're so terrified of people, you know, lashing out and rising up? These G20 protests that are coming up, is it G20 or G8? I can never remember. It's G something.
G8 in
Canada. Is it the G8 ones in Toronto? They've got the...
Toronto, yeah.
Yeah, they got Toronto on a watch list now. And they're going to have, you know, all the barricades set up. These people are going to show up and they're going to protest. And it's not going to do a goddamn thing. It's not going to do a thing. It won't even... It's
people
nothing.
People are going to get their heads beat in. They're going to inject horrible gas into their lungs and nothing will change.
Yeah, absolutely. They're, I mean, a protest like that is totally pointless.
It's because they
pointless.
Have no force and no money.
Yeah.
Those are the only two things that are going to change the government's minds or corporation's mind is force and money.
Yeah. And this is just an exercise. This is just like a weird rave party where, like, the cops are excited about it because they get to, you know, justify their existence. And then, you know, the protesters are happy because it gets to justify their existence. And they can just, you know, they can you know, get a party on. They can all get out there and, you know, they'll pick out their protester and their protester will pick out their cop and they'll all just, you know, have a nice go at it. But none of this is actually going to save anything. None of this is actually going to, you know, save anybody any time or any effort. It's definitely not going to accomplish anything that the protesters want to do. Unless, of course, they're not really serious about protesting. Unless, of course, what they're actually doing is they're just out there for an excuse to be angry. And that's all they got. Which, you know, hey, I've done a lot of things under the guise of being angry in the past. Definitely, I should say that there's a time and a place to be angry, to be sure. But the reason why you're angry is because it would make some sort of sense and there's some sort of, like, action or positive consequence that would come from this by your anger, rather than just, you know, getting your name in a database. And you and your family will never be able to leave the country or travel or really do much of anything. It's kind of sad that this is what it's turned into. So let's.
If you want to convince corporations, you have to stop buying their product. If you want to convince governments, it's civil disobedience of just not giving in to them.
I think that, there's also the rules of survival. Like, people want to. They want to make a difference. They're angry about the world around them, but they also have to survive. And there's this certain grim meat hook reality of this day and age
where
you're going to need a job. Like, people need to have a job. So there has to be some sort of a way that you can, live
with.
That's
why people keep the status quo. Nobody wants to rock the boat. Nobody wants to be the person that loses their job, their family, and gets thrown in jail. So a lot of things never really change because people have to be really, really repressed. And you look at countries that have like big revolutions, they almost have nothing left before something big happens.
Well, it's true. It is true. But I think that you need to have a lot of that power and pressure for things to happen quickly. I'm a bigger fan, like, if you want things to happen quickly, absolutely. You're going to need to have to put that kind of pressure on there. But I do think it is possible to be a bit more covert about this sort of thing. Kind of have the four-quarter game approach on this. You know, if you could keep the culture alive and keep these ideas going around and influencing people, you can do a lot with influence. So it's not as though that I'm not saying that you should just, forget it, whatever, put away the patchouli and have a steak. Mind you, there's something to be said for that. I think there's a lot of, good in steak. But I do think that there's definitely has to be some kind of balance. Because if all you do is, you put giant stainless steel hoops through your ears, grow dreadlocks down to your ass, wave around, big angry signs and wear boots, you're really not going to accomplish much. Really. I mean, yeah, sure, you're free and you can draw up whatever kind of, personal mind map you want on this thing. But at the end of the day, you're really not going to make that much difference unless you find a way to work with the system in order to make a difference, which, is why.
You have to be part of the system without being corrupted by the system.
You have to be corrupting the system instead of being corrupted by the system. Yeah.
Make your way into the governments, make your way into the corporations and change them from inside, or make your own government up, such as, the Pirate Party is doing.
Exactly.
Make your own big corporations up, and once you make a lot of money, you can help the Earth by giving back to it.
You go covert by seeping in, you convert people on the inside, and through that, you will conquer your enemy. That is the only way that you will ever be able to make this thing work. Bricks are not going to convince anybody. Now, something a bit more positive. Something a bit more positive here. How about a solar superstorm? Oh, hell yeah. We all know we want one. We've been talking about earthquakes and shit. Well, what we need is a solar superstorm. Maybe that will be the event.
A big reset button.
There you go.
A big reset button.
National power grids. Because I believe, honestly, that how will you know the world has really ended? It's because the power will go out and it will not come back on. And that's when you know the world's ended. I don't have to pay my credit card. Woo! National power grids could overheat and air travel severely disrupted when in electric items, navigational devices, and major satellites could stop working after the sun reaches its maximum power in a few years. Senior space agency analysts and scientists believe the Earth will be hit with unprecedented levels of magnetic energy and solar flares after the sun wakes from a deep slumber sometime around 2013. Dun, 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 dun. Could be 2012. Yeah. The Daily Telegraph can disclose. In a new warning, NASA said the superstorm would hit like a bolt of lightning and could cause catastrophic consequences to the world's health, emergency services, and national security unless precautions are taken. Scientists believe it could damage everything from emergency services systems, hospital equipment, banking systems, air traffic control devices, through to everyday items such as home computers, iPods, and sat-nav. Due to humans' heavy reliance on electronic devices, which are sensitive to magnetic energy, the storm could leave a multi-billion pound damage bill and potentially devastating problems for government. We know it's coming, but we don't know how bad it's going to be, said Dr. Richard Fisher, director of NASA's Heliophysics Division, said with an interview of the Daily Telegraph. It will disrupt communication devices, such as satellites and car navs, air travel, banking systems, our computers, and everything that is electronic. It will cause major problems for the world. unless you live in poverty, like most of the world does, without power, in which case it will be a Thursday. Dr. Fisher added, exactly. Systems will just not work. The flares change the magnetic field on the Earth that is a rapid, like a lightning bolt. So that is the solar effect. A space weather conference in Washington, D.C. last week, attended by NASA scientists, policymakers, researchers, and government officials, was told a similar warning. While scientists have previously told of the dangers of the storm, Dr. Fisher's comments are the most comprehensive warnings from NASA to date. Dr. Fisher, 69, said the storm, which will cause the sun to reach temperatures of more than 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit, occur only a few times over a person's life. Every 22 years, the sun's magnetic energy cycle peaks, with the number of sunspots, or flares, hits the maximum every 11 years. Dr. Fisher, a NASA scientist for 20 years, said these two events could combine in 2013 to produce huge levels of radiation. He said the large swaths of the world could face being without power for several months, although he admitted that that would be unlikely. You know, isn't that kind of unlikely? Well, it's a little bit. Isn't this...
be destroyed in an instant.
It'll be burned off. There'll be nothing but shadows everywhere. It's going to be awesome.
This happens every 11 years, but we have more electronics than ever before, so yes, it's quite possible that we could be severely disrupted if we're not prepared for it, but we know exactly when it's coming. So
No. What you're not seeing here is that there's two events converging, right? There's one every 22 years, and then one every 11 years, but in this one coming up, they converge. They converge together. So it's like super waves. Of scorching. You're laughing, but Carputer 2.0, I hope you enjoy it, man. I hope you enjoy that, and I hope you've got your MP3 set for stun, because pretty quick, you'll be driving down the highway.
Make sure I don't drive that day.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll park it in the garage.
Well, if you keep it under the building, you'll be fine, right? It'll probably be avoiding, you know, that sort of thing. Shielded.
In my Faraday cage garage.
I think you need lead lining. I don't know. Faraday stops. Okay. Well, maybe that would. I'm not sure if that would protect it. How do we protect Sim's car?
I've got 3 years
car?
To buy the lead.
Well, and plus it's the sun, right? Like, you know, kind of the center of all life in the universe. If the sun decides to take your ass out, you know, sun versus Steve Jobs. Go. Oh, we're finished, you know. Well, the sun would throw a punch and 8 minutes
ding,
later,
ding.
You know.
No round two.
It'd be over, yeah. So, interesting stuff. Now.
It is.
Here is a story on some surveillance state news, which is a little bit... I mean, I saw this, and it seemed like so obvious to me, but for some reason, this seemed like such a bizarre story. This is about an application that's being used by police departments for facial recognition on iPhones. And I'm like, oh my god, what a totally corrupted use for this. Wow. Officer Scott Shields holds up an oversized iPhone and snapped a photo. Within seconds, that photo would match of a man included in the test database. It's part of a new facial recognition system being used by the Brockton Police. The system, called Morris, the Mobile Officer Recognition and Identification System, will allow officers in the field to take photos of suspects to compare it with the database now being developed by the sheriff departments across the state. This is something officers can access when they are out on the road. He said officers can take a photo of a suspect, upload it to a secure network where it's analyzed, then learn, often within seconds, so it's automated, who the person is. Conlon said the handheld iPhone device will be likely used by the gang unit initially until the department can get more of these devices through grants. The device, with its necessary applications, cost about $3,000 and was made available thanks in part to a $200,000 federal grant funneled through the Massachusetts Sheriff's Association. Only $148,300 of that grant is being used for the system, which will eventually be used by 28 police departments and 14 sheriff departments within the state. Brockton is the first in the country to use the device. Other departments are expected to receive it shortly. Sean Mullen, president of the CEO B12 Technologies in Plymouth, said what makes the system unique is that it uses iPhone technology to allow officers to identify suspects through facial recognition, iris biometrics, and fingerprints all in one device. The B12 system combines the iris identification system it developed with facial recognition system developed by Animetrics of Conaway. This is really bad. With iris recognition expected to be added to the Brockton system in the future, suspects look through binocular-like device, which details unique areas of the iris. That information is then compared with those in others in the database. Paul Shep, president of Vanimetrics, said his system translates two-dimensional photos into three-dimensional for analysis, increasing accuracy of identification. The iPhone device Brockton Police received is equipped with facial recognition application, but iris and fingerprint identification applications are expected to be added in the future. Conlon said officers will be using the devices to identify suspects. "We're not going to just randomly stop people," Conlon said. "It will be used when someone has done something." Which is like, that's a really funny statement right there. "We're not going to just randomly stop people. It'll be used when someone has done something. Like driven by in a car." Or, you know, "We promise we're not going to just randomly stop people. Hey, what are you doing? Yeah, we suspect there's a suspect on this bus. Everybody get off and look into the light. Ding, ding, ding." I mean, really? That is right now. That is being fielded right now. Okay, so within the next 1 = 3, within the next 3 years, we're going to be seeing that very much loud and proud being used by law enforcement. What a great time to be in IT and law enforcement. Maybe that's a good way that we could, you know, get involved with this stuff. I don't know, Sim. Like, do you think, I guess, you know, there's the whole argument of, well, I don't do anything wrong, so why am I worried? But I don't know. I think
because
that this,
you could be in the wrong place at the wrong time and your face shows up, or somebody that looks like you shows up on the database and your door gets kicked down by the police and you get arrested.
Yeah, and it turns into Brazil.
It's going to all play out nicely in the court, but you don't really want your door kicked in for some biometric data that's a little bit off.
Oh, and that's why
story that you did a couple weeks ago that only had a 90% chance of facial recognition. That's pretty poor.
It is pretty poor, and that's why I'm a fan of big doors. I like big doors. You know, if the cops are gonna kick in my door, I'd rather have them kick in my door. And then they'd have to have lunch, because it's taken them a while to get through the door. So I like big doors, you know? I can see this
being in conjunction with some of the CCTV cameras doing auto face recognition. And, I mean, yeah, great. It's great for convicted criminals that are on databases that are, you know, convicted. But, you know, common people, these databases being set up for people who are not criminals, and it's like unknown suspect number one has moved from this shop to this shop, and then when they catch you and put you in, they can see everywhere that you've been without you even being convicted. It's guilty before being innocent.
Well, you're forgetting the major point here, Sim. See, there's only three kinds of people in the world. There's police, there's criminals, and there's suspects. And, of course, there's victims, right? Sorry, four. So we got police,
okay.
Victims, and quite often the victims can be criminals and other suspects. So, sometimes a suspect can become a victim. But that's kind of the direction that we're heading with this, you know. Interesting stuff. Of course, we do have some cyberpunk kit, which will help us through to the other side. This one's kind of neat. You should probably see if you can utilize this one in with your carputer. Which is this brand new laser, which has come out. Like, how can you not like...
Lasers!
This is from Ungsung Kaishaku. This is one of those devices that I really don't think is going to be available for sale for very long. A handheld laser likened to the Star Wars lightsaber, and so powerful it can instantly blind and set fire to skin and other body parts, can be bought readily and inexpensively online. The device, with a beam 1,000 times stronger than sunlight on the skin, is touted by its makers as the most dangerous laser ever created. The Wicked Laser's Spider 3 Pro Arctic lasers cost less than $200. Trading standards in England say they're seriously concerned about the sale of this model in the country, having warned against its use, as well blinding, burning, and causing cancer. Its Hong Kong-based maker admits that a split-second laser light in a plane cockpit can be disastrous. Star Wars fans are among hundreds of people who have already shown an interest in buying a laser for sale to the general public, which is really bizarre. Star Wars fans are among hundreds of people who have already shown an interest, so you got to watch those Star Wars fans. Who bought that? They're suspects.
Video game enthusiasts. It's like, well, most people are video game enthusiasts, and most people like Star Wars. So
that's not true.
There's going to be Star
That's a judgment.
I know, most...
That's a judgment.
Most people.
Most people. Most.
I think most people likes at least one of them. Empire. Or
okay, let's be honest here. Most good people like Star Wars. If you don't like Star Wars, honestly, if you meet someone and they say, Boba Fett, and they're like Boba Fett, from Star Wars, and they say, I don't like Star Wars. You look at them like they're a fuckstick. Like, whatever they say right after that, it's like, whatever. You think Boba Fett's stupid. You're a retard. Like, it's like
your
meeting somebody...
Your opinion is invalid.
Yeah, like, boom! Yeah, it doesn't matter what you say. I mean, it's saying I hate Star Wars is like walking around with a sign that says, God hate fags. Really. I mean, you can't hate Star Wars. You can't. It's Star Wars,
there's
man.
Something in there, everyone. Yeah,
it's... Come on. Come on. Really? Come on. Really? Anyway, back to my lasers. Under no circumstances should they be on sale on the internet, says Colton. The 1-watt beam is 1,000 times stronger than laser pointers normally available on the public. They could be called deadly if aimed at a car driver, even a pilot in a plane. Wicked Laser said devices would have cost thousands to build not long ago, but technological advances made it much more available more cheaply. This laser possesses the most burning capabilities of any portable laser in its existence. That's why they're also the most dangerous laser ever created. The website goes on to warn that extremely dangerous is an understatement of the power of the 1 watt of a laser pointer. It will blind permanently and instantly set fire quickly, and it will burn permanently and instantly and set fire quickly to skin and other body parts. It adds that users should use eye protection and must agree to the laser hazard acknowledgement form. Which kind of makes me think about those things, you get from when you were a kid and you used, like, the laser display on the ceiling and shit like that. And you can, like, sparkle the ground and stuff, put, like, a little spinning mirror on it. And you just kind of use that on your lawn. I think that would probably, I know what I'd do with this thing. I'd be like, there'd never be another cat within visual range. You'd be pissing me off at night, I tell you that. Well, I wouldn't burn out their eyes or nothing. I'd give them a little,
little zap.
Just a real quick one.
WhatsApp.
Yeah, a little, it's still on the butt or something, They got fur.
Sounds like you could cut your grass with this. You could set it up and just, take a big swath across. Just shine your laser right across your grass.
Now that's thinking.
The mower.
That's thinking. Laser mowers, I mean, come on. Come on. What can't you do?
Laser mower?
What can't you do with a laser mower? I mean, who really wants that? Only true Jedis use a lightsaber to, mow their lawn. Now, the other thing, Sim, is augmented reality. We know that this is on the forefront, too. Everybody's talking about...
It's coming.
Well, it's coming for the Army. Okay? Now, the Army...
Oh, it's always... The Army gets all the cool toys first.
Well, that's because they're the Army. And that's why stealing from the Army isn't bad. It's not a crime. It's a tradition. Okay? So, and whenever possible, I'm hoping that all the good people who listen to my show know that I'm a big fan of joining the Army, but make sure you just rat-fuck the place before you leave. Okay? The boots come off, fill them up, carry them with you, run like hell. All right. So, when explaining the cosmos concept of augmented reality to someone who's never heard of it, I find myself going through a series of common real-life and pop culture examples of how to make them understand. Aside from explaining first and 10 line in football games, the computer vision of the Terminator are indeed forms of augmented reality. Often use examples from the military, and a fighter pilot heads-up display, for example, as well as the fact the military has played a significant role in early development of AR. Now, if you want to know a really good example of AR in a movie, there's that weird comedy movie made by that guy. What's his name?
Plot points?
Pardon me?
Any plot points of the movie? Actors?
It's the guy who was in Anchorman. He was in Zoolander was going happy. Will Ferrell, thank you. Yeah, Will Ferrell was in it, and it's the story of a writer, and he's writing a story about a character, and it's a female writer, and Stranger Than Fiction. Thank you very much. Got it. And Stranger of Fiction has a really, which is bizarre, that you would think that Stranger Than Fiction would have a really good. Rendition of.
I remember that. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was really good. And he was like walking along and was showing a range. Really good way of doing it, to show that particular technology off.
Steps, and it was like 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, that's right.
Counting everything. Yeah, that was great. That was really good.
It was a really good example of it. A Chicago-based company called Tanagram Partners is currently developing a military-grade augmented reality technology that, if developed to the full potential of its prototypes, would completely change the face of military combat as we know it. Tanagram CEO Joseph Junk, that's his name, presented the Junk presented the technology last week at the augmented reality event in Santa Clara, California, and wowed the audience with his presentation. Why didn't we know about this? Why didn't we know about this augmented reality event in Santa Clara? Why weren't we in there trying to steal stuff? Illustrations from Junk's presentation tell the company of how its technology could give American troops the upper hand in hostile situations, which is funny because currently American troops totally don't have the upper hand in hostile situations at all. You know, the super hair carriers.
That's because the Afghanis have all these advanced AR.
Yeah, they got the AR and they got the drones and stuff. Americans, you know, they're definitely, if I want to take on Americans, it's definitely on the field of battle. That's where I want to take them on, you bet. Yeah, for sure. Like, what are you, nuts? Yeah, it's clearly. First of all, the company developed developing a system of lightweight sensors and displays that collect and provide data and to each individual of the soldier on the field. This includes a computer, 360-degree camera, UV infrared sensors, stereoscopic cameras, and OLED translucent display goggles. This is all part of the uniform. Which, of course, the poor bastard on the ground's got to carry this stuff, right? Now, never mind, he's also got to carry
a lot of gear, yeah.
Yeah, he's also got to carry, you know, weapons, armor, and, oh yeah, ammo. Yeah, ammo. Everybody forgets about ammo.
Stuff.
But ammo's really heavy, okay? Especially when you're wearing body armor and you're walking around in some shitty heat. Now, granted...
I guess that's always the trade-off, is the ammo versus, you know, carrying ammo and being able to kill somebody and not carrying ammo because it's too damn heavy.
Well, that's why we have Marines, because they can carry ammo and they can kill people at the same time. Now, of course, we have the exoskeletons, which have hit the scene, which are very sexy. I'm a big fan of the exoskeletons, so it'd be interesting to see all this come together in just the first real power armor, military power armor suit. Because you're never going to be able to get this augmented reality stuff. They need to get a frame and a chassis together so that we can actually get some power armor.
You can boost your load by like 40, 50 pounds with those things, 90 pounds, right?
Oh, you can load them up, man. You can put a couple hundred pounds on there. That's no problem. That's what they need to do. They've already got a military issue exoskeletons. They just need to go all the way, encase it in armor, and get an optic suite on the go, make it about 15 feet tall, and have it have to, you know, drill its feet in every time it fires its railgun. That would be just about perfect. You know, that would be how I would. That's how I'd roll with that. You know, I'm just saying. And how's now this one here? Now normally, I try to cover cyberpunk stories, but this story to me came across as most amazingly steampunk. Thank you very much, Mr. Pirate, for bringing this up, which is bizarre. It's another Army story. The United States Army has ordered a huge hybrid airship longer than a football field to watch over the battlefields in Afghanistan by the end of 2011, according to the airship's builder, Northrop Grumman Corporation. Now, I covered a story on these airships a while ago, where I was talking about how they were talking about using these things as floating UAV blimps. So it's like a cat's eye that stays really high up there, but they're combat blimps. The company has received $517 million in an Army contract to build up to three huge military airships called Long Endurance Multi-Intelligence Vehicles, LEMVs. Such airship would serve as a surveillance stations at $20,000. 20,000 feet in the air above sea level. We could stay on watch as long as 3 weeks at a time. Boy, wouldn't that suck. Here we are in the airship.
Wow.
You know, kind of want to bring a copy of Patrolling along with you up in the airship there. Some of the good rant media, because you're going to have some time to kill. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Swing by the rant store before you...
Bring a book or two.
Your deployment, yeah. Read my book. Read two. Read them both. Yep. Yeah, seriously. Because it's... you're going to have some time up there. Our offering supports the Army's Joint Military the Army's Joint Military Utility Assessment that this disruptive innovation must meet the Army's objective in persistent, unblinking stare. What the fuck? Hang on. I gotta, you know, this is what Alan Metzner, Northrop Grumman's program manager, said. Let me see if I can get this line out here. This is what he says about his balloon. His balloon, our offering supports the Army's Joint Military Utility Assessment that this that this disruptive innovation must meet the Army's objective of a persistent, unblinking stare while providing increased operational utility to battlefield commanders. Said Alan Mertzner, North Korea. You know, that's
military speak is so amazing.
It's pretty great. You know, they do come up with some good terms. You know, I like the. I wonder if there's a book that has all the terms in it, like, you know, mission creep and all that kind of stuff. So you could really, you know, there's some really good stuff going on with these things. And I guess I think we're going to see more of these. To be honest with you, I think they were talking about using these
for a military. It'd be amazing being a copywriter for selling military gear. Writing these things up.
Yeah, it would be bizarre. I'm surprised they're not using these for cheap cell phone communications, to be honest with you. Sounds like an ideal way to get comms going inside of third world nations. You know, you put this balloon up and away you go. Right?
Oh, war. Yeah. War. Let's use it for war.
Well, war comms.
Not
I
for
guess.
Increasing peace through communications. No. War.
Well, you know, yeah. Well,
it's always war first to bring the cost down. You got to blow up some people first, and then it gets to the civilians, and then you can use it for peacetime activities.
Well, there's a fast track. You can join the army and then steal it, and then leave the army, and then you can give it to the civilians. You know, which is usually
true.
What kind of happens.
That's another way. Yeah,
it's good to go. And to help with that, you know, our today's daily hack kind of comes into this. Now, this one here got sent in to me. It's kind of a neat little site sent in by Paladin. Thank you very much. Called iFixit, which has some big holes in it, but I think that our community here, through Rand, there's a lot of guys who like things like Make Magazine, guys and girls who like Make Magazine and things like that. It's a pretty interesting concept. What it is, and I can't believe no one's ever thought of this, but it's they make it easy for you to fix things yourself with online step-by-step repair guides and troubleshooting tips and a thriving community of repair technicians who want to help. So it's imagine... instead of just looking on the internet for, like, repair manuals, this is all about how to repair anything. Now, their electronic stuff is pretty big. I went in there and looked at their electronic stuff, and they have, like, all kinds of crap for electronics, how to repair this, how to repair that.
Just looking through it, game console repair. Yeah, it's awesome.
Absolutely nothing on how to fix a Zodiac. Nothing in there on how to fix a Zodiac. Nothing in there on
better
how to fix...
Better start putting it in.
Yeah, nothing in there about fixing diving gear. I checked in that as well. So there's some holes, you know. There's nothing
right.
in there
Need
about
some
fixing...
experts.
There's nothing in there about fixing alien technology. That's down, so you can't use it for that. But I'm interested in where that this website will be, if we could just get it around and get more and more people involved with it. Hopefully, you know,
it's
if
great.
Couple hundred thousand people listening to the show, you know, a certain percentage of those people, you know, start hanging out, checking it out. Very, very cool. So I like the idea of I like the idea of it. And in keeping with that, you know, in your preparations course, as I already mentioned, Ancient Angels, Fallen Angels, which is a History Channel documentary about aliens. And I'm beginning to think, Sim, that you might actually be an agent working for the Greys, because you're just a little bit too skeptical. You know,
that's right. They don't exist. No, you know, no. Don't look over there.
Which
just
is kind of funny because
investigate.
If we got a bunch of wogs and we had that whole thing from like Lost, like I tried to watch Lost. I got it into three episodes. I'm like, this is stupid. You know, because honestly, you know, I think I'd probably pick up five or six of my friends who I know are solid. We'd wall off on one side of the island and it'd be Lord of the Flies in 20 minutes and we'd resort to cannibalism. You know, seriously. I'd be like, whatever, screw you hippies. And if one of you even so much as, if we think you're lying to us, we are going to kill you. Okay, we will get the information and we will do you in. I could not get into Lost. Could not get into Lost. I kept on watching it going, what would Jack Bauer do? You know, really, what would he do here? You know, I just glad it's over. And what's worse is when you work with people who enjoy a show that you really hate. You know, that's the fucking worst. Because I'm a nice guy and I won't like, you know, crap all over their programming. I'll be sitting around and there'll be all these, you know, people talking about, "Oh, did you see Oprah? Oh, she's looking good. Did you hear she gave all of her people iPads and a $10,000 bonus just because she had a 10-year anniversary of her show?" And I'm like, yeah, so what, man? I gave out, like, two iPads at our 10-year anniversary. Yeah, and we had giant robots. You know, whatever. I don't care. I don't need anything. Anyway. But I try not to crap on those people who enjoy Oprah, you know,
That's
too
right.
much.
enjoying it. Leave them to their enjoyment.
Well, exactly.
They're having fun.
You know, I mean, if they're talking about, it's like sports people. They're like, oh, the game is on. We may win the trophy. And I'm like, we?
We.
Like you and
we.
You and I might win this trophy? Or oh, you mean the people who've trained their whole lives to do this for a copious amount of money might win the trophy? Well, it could be argued that actually they've already won because they're going to be paid regardless of whoever kind of comes
sure.
involved here. So, yeah, it's, yeah. Sorry. Sorry. And that's all we got for you today. But don't worry, we'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free broadcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. And if you cannot donate to this show, please distribute the show. Give it to people who you think might like it, especially if they were trapped on an island. If you can donate, please do so by clicking on the Donate tab on the Dark Atlas website or on any part of the Rant Media website. You can get in there, maybe take a look at some of our media we got. We got some flags. We got some really great media, which you'll never get. If you think this is entertaining, baby, bang for the buck, I will keep you sewn up. And you will not believe how much media you will get for the piddly amount of cash that you will be spending. Like, nobody. And it's just, seriously, that's
good bang for the buck.
Bang for the buck. Absolutely. Good entertainment value. For the cost of some popcorn, you can walk away with hours and hours.
Right.
Of entertainment. And really, I think theaters are going to die. I think that home theater technology is getting to the point now where theaters are better kick it up a notch because people are just getting sick of the bullshit and there's just too many jerks in the movie theaters these days. I'm here to tell you.
It's annoying.
It is.
It gets... And,
It sucks. It sucks.
I mean, they're trying with the 3D thing. They're making a little bit of headway. That's going to die out with all the hype, but...
Well, so what? We got 3D TVs now, too, don't we? Right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
they're catching up too quick.
Yeah.
I mean, the theaters are not gonna cut it. They're gonna have to innovate a little bit more. I don't know what they're gonna do. I like the big screen. I like the audio, but the people there with their phones and they're texting and they're talking and they're blabbing behind you and in front of you—it's really annoying.
And their meat. And all their meat. All those people in the theater with the
annoying.
Beef jerky. You know. It's terrible.
Their meat.
Their meat.
Yes.
Those goddamn bastards and their meat. If you'd like to send Sims
smell
meat,
the meat.
Or if you want to send me some exotic beef jerky, it has to be clearly labeled in a sealed package, otherwise I'm not going to eat it.
Or tofu jerky. That's very tasty. I've had that.
That is sick and weird. Okay? Why would you have tofu? That's just fucked up. You jerk beef so that, you know, it keeps and you can keep it for a long period of time. Why would you jerk tofu? Like, why would you do that? What is wrong with you?
The smoky flavor. It tastes very good.
The smoky flavor. The smoky flavor. Just like Grandpa used to make with the bean curd. You know, it shrinks your brain, eh? You know, you heard that, right? Tofu shrinks the brain. Have you heard that one?
I've got a lot of brain to shrink, so it's okay.
Okay, well, apparently, don't sneeze. Digital baptism.
I'm spacing it out through the rest of my life.
That's right.
I've got it on track.
That's right. Well,
okay, to lady.
You are a focus of will. Mr. Pirate, you are now being called Trench Spike. Mr. Pirate is now Trent Spike. That's your digital baptism. And, of course, I want to thank the Army of the Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. If you have information that you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel, N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at redradio.com. Be sure to sign up for the Rant newsletter by sending an email to info@rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, make sure you check out some Psytrance, because that's, after all, what we really like. And I'm going to try to fade out now with a track from my own personal collection, which I'm sure you will enjoy. Simi, have you got anything else for these good people here today?
No, I don't think there's anything for me to add.
Well, in that case, remember everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. So until next time, that's what server said. End of line.
Oh, God. Did you eat all this acid?
That's right.
Music!
This is not a good town for psychedelic drugs. Extremely menacing vibrations are all around us. Grass, 75 pounds of mescaline, 5 sheets of iron bar of water acid, a salt chamber half full of cocaine. involved in burying something. Does it go without saying that we can't turn the loose? Turn your back on a person, but never turn your back on a drug, especially when it's waving a razor-sharp hunting knife in your eye.